Man. It's not easy to be the favorite child, is it? Joseph was the favorite child of his father. It says because he was born to him when he was older. In fact, he was born to Jacob's favorite wife, which was Rebecca. Remember, Jacob married two sisters, Leah and Rebecca. He kind of liked Rebecca more. Jacob was always playing favorites throughout his whole life. And Rebecca didn't think she could have children for a long time. So it was a huge blessing and joy when she finally had children. And so he was very special to Jacob because he came from his favorite wife. He came when he was in his old age. Joseph seems like the kind of boy that did what his father wanted him to do, right? And apparently, we don't know exactly why, his brothers had a hard time with that because he brought a bad report about them, all right? In other words, he saw that his brothers were doing something they shouldn't be doing or whatever, and he decided he would go and tell his parents about it, and so his father maybe trusted him a little more. His father thought he was special. He gave him a coat that may have looked like this one that you see, a very special coat, the kind of coat that a ruler might wear, even maybe a symbol of what Joseph was going to become, even though he didn't know it. Joseph was the favorite child, and then he had dreams about how special he was, that everyone in his family was going to bow down to him. And then he went and told his brothers his dreams, and his brothers, as we like to say today, felt some kind of way about that, didn't they? And of course, because it's not easy to be the sibling of a favorite child either, is it? You see, I love this because this is a story that we all know is true, right? It's a story about family. And the Bible is true because real does recognize real. How many of us can find ourselves somewhere in this type of story today, right? This is a story about family, and we know what families are like. Some of you here this morning are the favorite child, are you not? You are the one that your parents like more than others. You are the golden child, right? Or maybe you've been the teacher's pet. Or maybe you've been the one that everyone else has been jealous of. And you know that tension that happens between brothers and sisters and cousins and friends, right? Or maybe you've been on the other side and you've been the sibling or cousin or friend of someone who got the attention that you thought you wanted, right? Or someone that seemed to be more special than you. And even in the story, we see there's a bit of conflict between Joseph and his parents. And which one of us knows that we've had some conflict with our parents if we've lived in a family, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? And if you are a parent, I'm going to go ahead and guess that sometimes you've had conflict with your children. Yes, I knew the parents would say amen when we got to that point because we know this story. This story is real because it's the story of family. And that's what the Bible is about, especially in the Old Testament, what we call the Hebrew Scriptures, the story of the Jews. We know that it's about family. It's about family. And in particular, God's family, which was the family that he chose to be a blessing to the whole world. You see, Jacob, his name was changed by God to Israel. And Israel's 12 sons, including Joseph, became the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a story of the nation of Israel, of the people, the Jews, so that every Jew that's ever lived, every Jew that's living on the face of the earth today can trace their family heritage back to Joseph or one of his brothers. This is the story of how God used this family. And it's the story of Joseph, one particular son in this family. Not the oldest son, but the second to youngest son, becoming the one that God was going to elevate. You see, this story in the beginning is about a dream that God gave to Joseph. A dream for his life, but not only his life, it was a dream for his entire family. And as we're going to see in the weeks ahead, even a dream bigger than that, a dream for the whole nation of Egypt, and even a symbol and foreshadowing of God's dream for the world. You see, God has a dream. God has a dream for each and every one of you as well. God has a dream for your life. That is to say, he has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And it is part of God's dream for the world because God has a big dream for this world the way he wants it to be. And each one of us gets to play a part, gets to play a role in God's dream for the world. But it's a dream that comes to us because it tells us of the part that we are going to play. It tells us of how God is going to use us. And I want to tell you this morning that God has a dream for your life. You may have had dreams for your life. You may have had some that even have come and have gone. You may have thought you wanted to do one thing and then you ended up doing something else. But I want to tell you that God has a dream for your life. And that when God speaks his dream over your life, it is true. And it will come true, as I believe the story of Joseph teaches us. And so I want to look at Joseph's dreams today in the beginning. First of all, you need to keep this in mind. Joseph was only 17 years old when God gave him this dream. And you'll notice that in the dream, he didn't understand everything about it. The dream didn't include all of the details, right? Right? And I think that's so true that many times in our lives, when God reveals his plan and purpose for us, he doesn't give us all the details. He doesn't give us everything all at once. He gives us the truth. But the truth comes in pieces. It comes in stages. It comes in segments that build upon each other. For Joseph knew in the dream, and his brothers knew, and his father knew, it was very plain to all of them, that Joseph was going to be a leader. That he was going to somehow rule over his family, and they were going to have to bow down to him. But it doesn't say how that's going to happen. And if you caught that little video first, Joseph has to go through some things before he gets to what God has for him. He doesn't know how it's going to happen at that point. He doesn't know when it's going to happen. He might be thinking, ooh, this is going to happen this year or next year, but it doesn't happen right away. And most importantly, he doesn't know why it's happening. And they don't understand why that dream is happening. And a lot of times when God reveals his plan for your life, he will tell you what you're going to do, but he may not yet tell you how you're going to do it, or when you're going to do it, or why you're going to do it. But God's plan for your life gets revealed. It gets unfolded in steps, in stages, in segments. But we need to understand that so we can hold on to the truth of what God says. Because I believe that God must prepare us for the purpose that he has for us. You know what I'm saying? God must prepare us. He had to prepare Joseph. He had to make him ready to fulfill the purpose that he had for Joseph and what he was going to do in his life. This story relates a lot to me because I was 17 years old. When God gave me a dream for my life. When I was 17 years old, I went with a group of people from my church in Colorado, and we went down to New Mexico, and we stayed up near the Four Corners, if you know what that is. It's where Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado come together almost, and you can be in all four states at once. And in New Mexico, we were in Shiprock, New Mexico, and we were there with about 500 other people from all over the country to help people that lived in the Navajo Nation. And they were people that maybe didn't have enough money to fix up their homes, or they needed painting or repair. And we were spending time there helping them out and getting to know them. And so we were all staying in the local high school, okay? And for some reason, I don't remember any air conditioning in this high school, 500 people, it was a hot summer night. It got a little stuffy one night. So I got up, I went outside, and it was a beautiful night, the kind of big sky night that you could only see out west. And there were stars all in the sky. And I began to walk around the high school track. And as I walked around the track, I felt, listen to this, I felt the presence of God in a stronger way than I had before. Amen. I just kind of imagined that Jesus was walking with me. I didn't really see anything, but I just felt it. I felt God was closer than he'd ever been before. And I began to have this conversation with God. What do you want me to do with my life? God, what is the purpose of my life? God, what is your dream for my life? Because I have certain dreams, God, but I'm curious, what is your dream for my life? And again, I didn't hear a voice like this, but I felt it. I felt the words coming to me in my mind and in my heart. And I felt God speaking to me and saying, I want you to become a pastor. I want you to help young people especially come to understand what faith in Jesus Christ means. Now, I knew what I was going to do, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how God was going to do it. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I didn't know why it was going to happen. I had no idea that I was going to follow God's dream and live in five different states across the United States. I had no idea at that moment at 17 that I was going to come to a place called Connecticut in New England, to a city of you. If he had told me I was going to plant a church in Hartford, Connecticut, I didn't even know where Hartford was. You know, I might have had something to do with Mark Twain. That's probably about as far as I could get Hartford at that time. I had no clue the pain and the suffering that I was about to go through. I had no clue what I would encounter along the way as God was preparing me for the purpose that he had planned for me. I had no clue. And God's truth comes to us in pieces, in stages, in steps, because God wants to prepare us for the plan that he has for our life. And so Joseph receives the dream.
He knows he's going to rule and his family's going to have to bow down to him, but he doesn't yet understand how that's going to happen or when that's going to happen or why that's going to happen. But sometimes God plants seeds in our life, doesn't he? He plants seeds. Before he even knew that a famine was coming, he had a dream about bundles of grain. Do you get what I'm saying? Isn't that cool? He had something symbolically that planted a seed in his heart. And I bet when that time came when he was handing out the grain, he thought way back to when he was 17 and like, oh, that's the reason I had that dream about the bundles of grain, right? So we need to understand that God reveals his dream, his plan, his purposes to us in steps and in stages so that God can prepare us for what he has planned for us, right? And here's the other thing. It wasn't just Joseph's dream. It was his brother's dream too. But they didn't like the dream because they didn't understand the role and position they had in the dream. You see, Joseph's dream was bigger than just him. And that's the other thing about God's dream for your life. It's always bigger than just you. You understand? It's not just for you. It wasn't just so that Joseph could feel special and wonderful and have everything that he wanted. The purpose of God's dream for Joseph's life was so that his family could literally be saved when they were starving to death. And not only his family, but the entire nation of Egypt was saved because of God's dream for Joseph's life. You understand that your dream is a part of God's big dream for the world. And some of us may ask, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what my dream is. What is God's dream for the world? And I believe that God's dream for the world is in the verse that was the seed verse that inspired me to plant this church. It's from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and I think we have it on the screen. The prophet says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated, and renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." God's dream for the world is the beautiful restoration of all things. God's dream for this creation, which has been corrupted by sin, which has been infected with evil, God's dream, which has been attacked, which has been opposed, which has been thwarted at every turn, is that eventually everything, all people, everywhere, his entire creation would be rebuilt, restored, and renewed to the way that God wants it to be. That's God's dream for the world. And his dream includes the dream that he has for us at Hartford City Church. We have a unique role to play in that dream. And we don't understand it all yet. We don't understand how it all fits together. But we need to learn our part first. You know what I'm talking about? We need to learn our part before we can participate in what is bigger. Have any of you ever played in a band, maybe a symphony or concert band or an orchestra? Anybody ever played with a bunch of musicians? Anybody? Anybody? A couple people, yeah? You know that in an orchestra it can have up to 100 people, right? And when each part is given its part, and you look at the part, you may not understand how it's all going to sound yet, right? In fact, you get your part, and there's a lot of rest. What do you mean, I'm not playing for 26 measures? What is that, you know? Right? And sometimes I'm playing a really cool part, and sometimes I'm just playing a simple part, you know, that just goes, dun. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to sound. But once everything comes together, once everyone understands their role, their position, their part, and we begin to play together under the direction of the Holy Spirit, what beautiful music can be made. What beautiful music can be made. And we are just a part of what God is doing in this world, and even in this city of Hartford, and even in this state of Connecticut. God is doing something. He has a dream, and we are part of that dream. And then also, as God has a dream for us at Hartford City Church, God has a dream for each and every one of you. In your lives, in your family, where you work, where you go to school, where you live, God has a dream for your life. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And he will reveal it to you piece by piece, step by step. And he will prepare you for what you need to go to. And his dream is always part of his bigger dream for the world, right? But the brothers,
They didn't understand this dream, did they? They didn't understand that the whole purpose of the dream was to save them. So they got upset. They got jealous, didn't they? And let's go back to the text for a little bit. Let's go back to Genesis 37. And let's read just a few verses on from what Sean read for us about what was happening with Joseph and his brothers. It says, beginning in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 37, "Now Joseph's brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them.' 'Very well,' he replied. So he said to him, 'Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me.' Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. And when Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, 'What are you looking for?' He replied, 'I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?' 'They've moved on from here,' the man answered. 'I heard them say, let's go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. 'Here comes that dreamer,' they said to each other. 'Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and then we'll see what comes of his dreams.'" Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Your dream, God's dream for your life will be opposed. There will be people that come against it, right? Do we know that jealousy? Let's just think for a moment about that. Do you know what it's like to be jealous, to see someone else get the attention, the affection, the position that you want, that you desire, that you desperately crave? For you see, I think there is something in all of us, part of our sin nature, if you will, that desires to be special, desires to be the one in charge, desires the position, desires to be the leader. We all want the special coat. We all want to be Joseph. But what we don't understand is that there is a lot of pain that comes with being a leader. In fact, one of the leader's responsibilities is to bear pain, especially for the sake of others. We don't understand our role and our position, and we have a hard time accepting it because we get jealous. Jealousy is defined as when we have envy and feelings or actions towards the advantages or achievements of someone else, right? Because we have that desire to be number one, to be the best, to be special. But we don't understand the suffering that that brings, and we don't understand that God assigns us each a specific role that he wants us to fulfill, that he wants us to participate in. It reminds me of the story of James and John when they came to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they wanted to be special. They wanted positions of leadership. They wanted positions of influence. And I want to just read that story with you because it instructs us about what I'm talking about this morning. This is from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right hand, the other at your left in glory.' 'You don't know what you are asking,' Jesus said. 'Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared.'" Wow, there's a lot we can learn in that, right? First of all, the cup he's talking about is the cup of suffering. He said, "Are you guys going to be able to suffer what I'm about to suffer? Are you guys able to handle the rejection? Are you able to handle the pain? Are you able to handle the loneliness? Are you able to handle the crucifixion and the death and to be betrayed and to be abandoned by those that love you? Are you ready to handle that if you want to achieve what I'm about to achieve?" And he says, "Yes, in fact, you will suffer. I know that you're going to suffer. I know that you're going to go through some difficult things. But even in that, God decides what our position will be," right? Right? You know what I'm talking about? God decides what our position will be. And it's up to us to receive that, to somehow deal with that and understand what God has. Because God is preparing you for the position he has called you to fulfill his purpose in the world, right? That's kind of the message this morning. God is preparing you to fulfill the position that he's calling you to so that you can fulfill his purpose for you in the world. And we need to understand that if we want to be leaders,
To be a leader means you're going to suffer, and to be a leader means you're going to serve others. And in Joseph's case, you're even going to be used to save others. There's a purpose for leaders. Not everybody's a leader. Not everybody's a leader. God did not love Joseph's brothers any less than God loved Joseph. In fact, he only did for Joseph what he did because he wanted to save them. I mean, did you catch that? I mean, their very lives were going to depend on the one they wanted to literally kill. Right? They didn't understand that, but we must come to understand that God's plan and purpose, his dream for our life, includes the position, the role that we're going to play. And just because we don't like it or we get jealous of somebody else's role, that should not distract us from what God's plan is. In fact, we need to understand that we have to go through what we have to go through, and that others got to go through what they got to go through, right? And before you get too jealous or envious of someone else, just stop for a minute and consider, do you really want that job, right? Do you really want that job? For what job of leadership, especially in this country, in this city, in this state, it's not anything I would want. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't want people talking bad about me on Twitter all day long. I don't want people like criticizing me. I don't want people coming against me. That responsibility that you have to make decisions that affect all people, that's why we should be praying for our leaders. We should be praying for them because they're in the position that they're in because that's where God wants them at the moment. We may not understand it. We may not like it. And we need to pray that the right people get into the right positions that God has prepared them and called them for, right? That's what we need to be praying for, friends. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for our country, for our city, for our church, for even Christianity around the world, that God will raise up, because there's people now, people your age, there's people young. Joseph was called when he was 17. There's people that are 17 and younger that are the ones who are really going to make the difference in this world, right? They really are. And God is preparing them right now. God is preparing them. God is raising them up. Maybe even people you know. You know, some of us, we get afraid to talk to people, to encourage people. But you might have younger cousins. You might have people you know. It might even be your children that God is preparing right now to be in the positions of leadership that we need in the future so that God's plan and his purpose can be accomplished in this world. And I want to say another thing about God's dream is that you cannot kill it and you cannot stop it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? You cannot kill a dream. You cannot stop God's dream because they tried to, right? They tried to kill Joseph. They thought, we'll kill his dream if we kill him. But God intervened, right? What happened was his two older brothers cut in and they said, wait a minute, let's not go all the way into killing him. Let's throw him down into some hole, okay? But then they decided to sell him to people who were... He would be a slave to these people that would sell him to Egypt where he would live as a slave. They took his special coat and they covered it with goat's blood and they took it to his father and they said, Father, your son has died. Look, wild animals have killed him. I mean, he was thrown down. He was sold as a slave. His father thought he was dead. Joseph was taken off to another land. Joseph went through a lot of things, right? Joseph went through a lot of suffering to prepare him for what God had. There was a lot of times when God's dream was being attacked. When Joseph had opportunity to think, I don't know, God, you said this was going to happen, but it don't look so good right now. Does anybody know that feeling? Does anybody know that feeling? Does your life say, it doesn't look like it? God, I know you have a plan and purpose for my life, but right now it doesn't look like it because there is opposition. People are going to attack you. When you follow your dream, you should expect to be attacked. Because there are dream killers and dream stealers all around us, right? Right. And we just need to tell them, look, we just need to trust God. We need to keep doing what God has called us to do. Because God's dream for your life, and God has a dream for your life, it's part of God's big dream for the world. It will be revealed to you in steps along the way. God will prepare you for his dream. And most likely it will include some suffering and some opposition. But know this, above all else, that nothing can stop God's dream for your life. Because God's desires will be accomplished. God's word will accomplish its purpose that is sent forth, right? And we may have to wait on it. We may have to hope and trust in the Lord. You know, we may find ourselves in those moments where we're not yet at the end of the story. Sometimes you don't know the purpose until you have a chance to sit down and look back, right? I mean, we don't know the purpose of Joseph's story until the very end. Which I'm going to try not to get too far into because that's coming up in a few weeks. But he understands the purpose as he looks back on everything that's happened. Like we talked about last week with Esther, God is working in your circumstances, in your life, through people that you wouldn't even expect because God is at work in your life. God is preparing you. God is getting you ready to fulfill the dream that he has for your life. But understand this, have courage.
Have faith. Have comfort today in the fact that no matter who opposes you, even if it's your own family, they cannot stop the dream that God has for your life.
So where do we find ourselves today? I think we find ourselves in an interesting moment in this story. So I want to go back in this story for just a minute. And just because of how I'm wired, I kind of like these moments in the story where it seems like it's a small thing, but you go back and you look at it and you're like, wait a minute, why did that happen? And in the middle of this story, something interesting happens, right? Joseph is sent out by his father to go to his brothers grazing their flocks at Shechem and then bring back a report, say how they're doing, right? Did you notice what happens though? Why is this in the story? Joseph goes to Shechem, and what does he find? Nothing. His brothers aren't there. His brothers are not where they're supposed to be. His brothers are not where they're supposed to be. And Joseph is in a moment of decision. He's in a moment, what we call at the crossroads. He's in a moment of decision because he's looking around. He can't find what his father sends him to find, all right? Can I talk real this morning? How many of us kids, your parents send you to find you something, you don't find it right away, do you keep looking? Or do you go back and say, I couldn't find it, right? Well, be true, amen, back there in the back row, right? Amen, we do that. We go to find what we're sent to look for, but we don't find it. It's easy to say, well, I couldn't find it, I couldn't do it, it wasn't there, right? So what happens? Joseph is wandering around, and it says a stranger, a man, came up to him. Who is this mysterious man? You know, if you read the Bible, there's lots of these little stories in the Old Testament of mysterious men that show up in the story. And sometimes they're angels. And sometimes they're actually God himself. But this is another example. You see, Jacob, his father, Israel, he met a mysterious man. And he wrestled with him and found out he was God until he got his blessing. And his grandfather, Abraham, met some mysterious men at some point. And we almost overlooked it in Joseph's story. We almost thought, well, we don't get that, but we do. There's a moment when Joseph is in a place where his brothers are supposed to be, and they aren't, where Joseph is following what his father told him to do. He's walking in obedience to his father, and he's at this moment where he doesn't know exactly what to do. And all of us come to that moment in our lives when we don't know exactly what to do. We don't know exactly what to do. And the question that this person asks him, I think, is a powerful question for us this morning. And this is where I want us to end this morning. This is where I want us to spend some time thinking about this very question. The man asks him, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Some of you today are in a place of wandering. You can't see what's going on. You're not sure what the next step is. But God is asking you, what are you looking for? What are you searching for? Are you searching for God's dream in your life? Are you seeking God's will for your life? Or are you maybe tempted to say, there's nothing here. Let me just go back. Let me just go back and keep doing what I'm doing, right? What I find interesting and inspiring about Joseph is that he continued to walk in obedience, no matter what it cost him. If you think about it, he's continuing to do what his father told him to do. And then God says, checks his heart and says, what are you really searching for? What are you looking for? And in his answer, God leads him into the purpose and destiny that he has for his life. God is asking you today, what are you looking for? What are you searching for? Do you want God's dream for your life? Are you seeking God? Are you walking in obedience to what your father has told you to do? Because your destiny will come as you obey. Did you catch that? As you walk in obedience, your destiny will come into being. Your destiny will be fulfilled. God's purpose for your life will be fulfilled when you are walking in obedience. That means you need to do what God has told you to do. And some of us, we're not fulfilling God's dream for our life because we've stopped doing what God has told us to do. We've become disobedient to our father. We've stopped listening to our father. Joseph was told that he was going to rule over his father. But at that moment, he still obeyed what his father told him to do. He continued to walk in obedience until it was revealed what his next step was going to be. And I think that's a word for all of us today, right? We should continue to walk in obedience to what God has told us to do. Sometimes it's as simple as what Joseph was told. You need to go here and check on your brothers and see how they're doing. Right? It's not necessarily something big or fancy. It's not necessarily something complicated. God may be speaking to you today and say, I have a dream. I have a purpose for your life. But listen, I've just asked you to do this one thing. I've asked you to do this next thing. And I'm waiting on your obedience. I'm waiting to see if you're going to do it. Because when you do it, then I'm going to reveal the next step. And when you do that, then I'm going to reveal. And you may even have to go through suffering. And you may have to go through pain. And there will be others that come against it. There will be others that attack your dream. Joseph's life was attacked more than once. His dream was attacked more than once. Just when he thought he got to somewhere, boom, he went right back down. And then he got up, and when he thought he got somewhere, boom, he went right back down. Until finally, God had prepared him to the point where he brought him into the fullness of the position that he had prepared for him so that Joseph could fulfill God's purpose for his life, for the life of his entire family, and even the entire nation of Egypt was saved literally from starvation because of the dream that God gave Joseph. But Joseph realized God's dream as he walked in obedience, as he continued to do what God had told him to do. Let's pray this morning. I want you to think about this in your life. What has God told you to do? What is the step of obedience that God has been speaking to you? And I want to encourage you to walk in obedience because God has a dream and a plan for your life. And it will be fulfilled no matter what. But today, the strange man has come to ask you, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? What are you searching for? Are you searching for God? Are you searching for his dream and purpose? I believe that God is here today to speak to you about his dream and his purpose.